Turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. If you would, please. Daniel, chapter 6. In 1995, an author by the name of Steve Farrar wrote a book entitled Finishing Strong. And in that book, in the very first chapter, he repeats this sentence on several occasions. It's not how you start the Christian life that matters. It's how you finish. And then he went on to give this story. John Bisagno had been pastoring the church, First Baptist Church of Houston, for a number of years. When John was about to finish college, he was having dinner over at his prospective in-law's house. His soon-to-be father-in-law, Dr. John Beck, was involved in the ministry for a number of years. John was getting ready to start his ministry, and so obviously their topic of conversation turned to the things of serving the Lord Jesus. And Dr. Beck counseled John with these words. John, stay close to Jesus. Make sure that you keep your heart close to Jesus every day. It's a long way from here to where you're going, and Satan is in no hurry to get you. The older man continued, it's been my observation that the men who start out in their 20s on fire and ready to make a difference for Jesus in their generation, out of those men, only 1 out of 10 finish. The other 9 get shot down with discouragement or liberal theology or morally, or they get obsessed with making money. But for whatever reason, 1 out of 10 fall away. Now, John Bisagno could hardly believe that. In fact, he said, I can't believe that. Surely that is not the case. And so he went home, and on one of the back open pages of his Scofield Reference Bible, he wrote down the names of 24 classmates who were on fire for Jesus and who John thought would make an impact for Christ in their generation. When John was 53, he wrote these words. From time to time, as the years have gone by, I've had to turn back to that page in my Bible and cross out a name. I wrote down these 24 names when I was just 20 years of age. 33 years later, there are only 3 that remain. Farrar adds the sentence, it's not how you start that counts, but it's how you finish. John Bisagno, by the way, finished strong, faithfully preaching the gospel until he died in 2018 at the age of 84. In the book that bears his name, we see Daniel finishing strong, being faithful to the Lord, honoring the Lord through every stage of life. It's interesting to note that in the first 2 chapters, we see Daniel in the age span between 16 and 19, honoring God. Then in chapters 3 and 4, we see Daniel roughly between the ages of 36 and 51, middle age, honoring the Lord. And then in chapter 5, last week and chapter 6 today and next week, we see Daniel as an old man of 86 honoring the Lord. He finished strong and was faithful to God throughout his entire life. And the reason he finished strong was he was a man of unusual integrity. And we see that integrity on display in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Because in these verses we see five marks of unusual integrity. And each one of us can bear those marks so that we can be men, we can be women of integrity in this 21st century. We can be 21st century Daniels. Notice mark number one. He was uncommon in his attitude. Uncommon in his attitude. Look at the first three verses of Daniel 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom the satraps should give an account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Excellent spirit. The idea of that word excellent means surpassing or abundant. Daniel went the extra mile. He went beyond. You see, folks, we always need to bear in mind that belief determines behavior. Our outlook determines the outcome. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, the scripture tells us, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Have an excellent attitude. It's been a long time, and I was reminded of this by one of our members a while back, since we've referred to a yes face. Some of you folks remember that? We said around here at River Cities, we want to portray a yes face. You want to do something to serve Jesus? Our first reaction is yes. What do you need? What can we help you with? What can we provide for you? We don't want you to have to go through 25 different committees and, you know, evaluate it six ways out of Sunday. We want to have a yes face. And that expression came from an account from the presidency of Andrew Jackson. When he was president, he was traveling with a group of men, and they came upon a river, traveling by horseback back in those days, they came upon a river that was swollen through recent rains. And there was a traveler on foot standing by the river, obviously wanting to cross but not able to. One of the people in Jackson's party said, would you like us to carry you across? And that traveler looked at the face of everyone in Jackson's party and said, yes, but only if I can ride on the horse of this man. And he pointed to the president. And after they crossed the river, someone asked the man, said, why did you want to ride across the river with the president. And the traveler said, oh, I didn't know it was the president. All I know is that when I looked into each one of your faces, his was the only face that said yes. And folks, watching via live stream, we know that this COVID thing has many of you concerned, perhaps even fearful, but one day COVID's going to be gone. And then's going to be the time to gather back to church. But some will be tempted to stay home. You know, I like watching Larry preach in my pajamas, sipping on my coffee. It's more convenient this way. But church is not about Larry preaching. There's so much more to gathering together in fellowship. You're going to miss the yes faces of the people around you. You're going to miss the words of encouragement, the pats on the back. Yes, even the hugs of encouragement when it once again becomes politically correct to do so. That's what is significant about church. Larry's preaching is just kind of a side benefit. We want you to experience the yes faces around here. Do you know that most of the significant ministries in our church did not begin with the pastors recommending it to the church? It began from the church members approaching us and say, hey, I would like us to consider this. Awana. I'd say that's one of our most significant ministries. Was restarted in our church after years of not having it when Jamie Hagley came up to me and said, Pastor Larry, I'd like for us to restart Awana. What do you think? Upward Basketball and Cheerleading, another significant ministry, began when Charlie Hagley came up to me and said, Pastor, have you ever heard of a ministry called Upward Basketball and Cheerleading? Fortunately, I just had from my brother-in-law. His church had that ministry. I said, yeah, Charlie, I have. He said, we got a gym. Why can't we do that here? Charlie, what do you need? Well, I need to go to the training that Upward provides in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Yes, we'll send you there. And Upward Basketball, the rest of the story, tells itself. Children's Church began with a lady coming up to me and said, you know, Pastor, I'd like for us to start a church for preschoolers. Let's call it We Worship. That was her title. We've changed the title. But the idea came from her. And I said, yes, what do you need? Well, I need a room. You got it. What else do you need? Well, I'm going to need some curriculum. We'll get it for you. We want to have a yes face here. Because let's face it, Christian, as you go out into the world, in your work life and in your neighborhoods and the people that you know, you got plenty of naysayers out there, don't you? We want you to experience a yes face when you come in here. We want you to experience an excellent attitude. And we want you to demonstrate an excellent attitude. Show the yes face, see the yes face in others. There's a second mark of Daniel's integrity. We see that in verse 4. He was unequaled in his work. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Integrity, if you kind of boil it down, is made up of two things. Number one, what you don't do. And number two, what you do. What did Daniel not do? Well, there was no error or fault found in him. Error has the idea of negligence. Fault has the idea of corruption. Now, remember, he was working in a political system. Negligence and corruption almost equals, sadly, politics. But not in Daniel. None of that was found in him. But also the positive aspect, what he did, because he was faithful, the scripture says. The idea of faithful means he was dependable. He was trustworthy. Proverbs 22, verse 29 tells us, "Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." And it was remarkable with Daniel. He stood before Nebuchadnezzar. He stood before the kings following after him. He stood before, as we saw last week, Belshazzar, the last king of Babylon. And now he's standing before Darius, the king of the Medo-Persians. The whole system of government changed. But yet Daniel, because of his faithfulness, stood. It'd almost be like the chief of staff of a president being carried over to a new administration of the opposing party because he was so faultless in his work. We would think that is unheard of, but that's exactly what Daniel was like. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 tell us how that can be pulled off. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. I remember years ago, back in the paint factory, been a long time since a paint factory illustration has come your way. One of the guys in the paint factory was walking around with a two-wheel dolly. And he came up to me and said, "You know why I'm walking around with this dolly?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Because it looks like I'm doing something. I'm either going there to do something or I'm coming back from doing something. I don't have anything to do, so I'm just pushing this dolly around, walking around. Being a men pleaser." He did not know, well, the reason he did not know he was working for Christ is sadly, he did not know Christ. That was quite evident from his life. But that ought never be the case for a believer. Because you're not working for your foreman. You're not working for your office manager. You are working for Jesus. Think about that tomorrow when you go into work. But notice the third mark of integrity. He was unclouded in his witness. Now, you would think a guy who was diligent and honest and trustworthy would have the respect of his co-workers, right? Well, wrong. Again, remember, we're talking politics here. That stuff has nothing to do with politics, sadly. But notice chapter 6, verse 5. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." These pagans knew where Daniel stood. He is almost the exact opposite of Samson. You remember the story of Samson? The Philistines did not know wherein his strength lay, but they sure knew Samson's weakness. He was a he-man with a she-weakness. And that's how they found out where his great strength lay. But these pagans knew where Daniel stood. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, once again, the scripture tells us, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Daniel was uncommon in his attitude, unequaled in his work, unclouded in his witness. Notice the fourth mark of his integrity. He was unwavering in his convictions. Verses 6 through 10. Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions." Of course, that was a bald-faced lie. Not all the high officials agreed to that because obviously Daniel had not agreed to that. "Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius, sign the document and injunction." When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had his windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Now, I don't know if Daniel was tempted this way. The text doesn't indicate it, but I probably would have been tempted that, you know, Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet. So I'll do some closet praying. I'll do some secret praying. Because Jesus said, you know, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So I would not have been tempted to make the public display of prayer like Daniel did. But Daniel said, this is the way I've always done it. Doesn't matter if the document had been signed. I'm going to continue on praying as I did before. He was unwavering in his convictions. Ted Engstrom wrote these words in the book, The Making of a Christian Leader. "The world needs men and women who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who put character above wealth, who possess opinions and a will, who are larger than their vocations, who do not hesitate to take chances, who will not lose their individuality in a crowd, who will be as honest in small things as in great things, who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confined to their own selfish desires, who will not say they do it because everybody else does it, who are true to their friends through good report and evil report, in adversity as well as in prosperity, who do not believe that shrewdness, cunning, and hard-heartedness are the best qualities for winning success, who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for truth when it is unpopular, who say no with emphasis, although the rest of the world says yes. He was unwavering in his convictions. And then notice finally, the fifth mark of integrity. He was unceasing in his prayer. We see that in verse 10, and we're going to unpackage, Lord willing, next week, Daniel's prayer a little more specifically and directly. But just to say this in regards to integrity, prayer was indispensable for Daniel. Think about it, friend. He would rather spend the night in the den of lions than go a day without prayer. Wow. Unceasing in his prayer. In the Christian life, it's not how you start that matters. It's how you finish. How can you finish strong? Integrity. Living a life of integrity will produce two concurrent results. First of all, realize you seldom get what you deserve from people. Don't expect it. Secondly, you always get what's best from God. Count on it. Integrity, folks, begins with your relationship with God. Without a relationship with Christ, you're missing a crucial part of integrity, because the very word integrity means completeness or soundness. There's a piece of your life that's missing. I love what Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 say. For in him, Jesus, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You get that, friend? You are complete in Christ. If you feel this morning there is something missing in your life and you're not a Christian, the reason you feel that way is because there's something missing in your life. You become complete in Christ Jesus. And the way to live a life of integrity is to know Christ as your Savior. And that begins by understanding the fact that as you are right now, your condition right now, you are separated from God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 states. And that separation from God brings the judgment of God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I love this expression. It's not original with me, folks, but what God's justice demanded, that our sin be paid for, God's love provided. God demonstrated his love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's his gift for you, dear friend. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you today can be made complete in Christ. We would love to pray with you, to pray for you. If you're watching on live stream, just go to the Lord Jesus in your living room or kitchen or bedroom, wherever you're seeing this, and say this prayer. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know the wages of sin is death. But I also know that you love me. You love me so much, you gave Jesus up for me so that I could have eternal life. And right now, I am trusting Jesus as my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me all of my sin and giving me an eternal home in heaven. Now, folks, that wasn't just good for the folks on live stream. It's good for anyone here who needs to be made complete in Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that your word is clear as to how people can know Jesus as their Savior. And Lord, I pray as these scriptures have been shared, that your word would do the power. Your word would bring forth the change that is needed in the lives of people. God, I pray in Jesus' name that people in this room, people watching on live stream, would all come to know Christ as Savior. Draw them to yourself. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.